And good evening. Welcome back, everybody. And this is our bracket podcast.
We did that already.
Oh, under the radar. Welcome to.
No. That was over a week ago.
Okay. It's not the preseason. Oh, it's our championship week video notebook. All these podcasts, I got a little bit confused here, just like I did last night. Want to start off tonight by apologizing for, first of all, being completely wrong on the math of the survival board. And we also blew what games were being played today in the MEAC. We'll get to those in a few minutes. So anybody that watched the last about 10 minutes of last night's podcast, ignore it. We'll fix that tonight.
Just aware that we screwed that up. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I did.
And David's hitting the bottle again. David, just like we do every night, this is our podcast where we do go through all of each night's conference tournament action, review the games, preview the following nights, update our survival board, and we're going to get right on into it tonight. We're going to pull up we had three automatic bids handed out, and we'll start in the Colonial, where William & Mary was going for their first ever NCAA tournament bid as one of the five teams that has been in the NCAA tournament in the NCAA Division I since 1948 when the divisions began, and they're still on the list.
Yeah, second year in a row they made it to the championship game. I was actually kind of surprised. Northeastern, we've watched them all year. They have looked really good at times, but only sparingly. More often than not, they've been disappointing. But they had it in them to be really good, and man, were they really good tonight. I think it was more of a case of Northeastern playing really well than it was of William & Mary playing really poorly.
Yeah, Northeastern, and the score was actually probably a bigger margin of victory than this. Northeastern pretty much was up the entire second half. William & Mary tried to make a few runs, but really just couldn't do it, and Bill and Mary will be on to go get their automatic bid to the NIT. Their season's not over yet, but Northeastern is on to the NCAA tournament.
Right. And again, this was a great tournament, really, up until the championship game. The second half, man, just Northeastern opened it up.
The game of the night, maybe especially among the three championship games, was in the Southern Conference, where the Cinderella story of Furman almost went all the way to the Big Dance. Last place team, number 10 seed, knocked off Citadel, Chattanooga, and Mercer, and had their shots with Wofford.
They did. They had a lead very late into the game. I don't remember the exact time, but I think with as little as a minute to go, it was either tied or Furman had the lead. This would have been redonkulous. They had 21 losses, more than anyone else. They had a 297 RPI. I don't think anyone has ever gotten in with one that low. It would have gone up had they won this game, obviously, but I mean, not a whole lot. We were faced with a situation to where the biggest mismatch of the entire tournament may have been in the play-in game, or the opening round, first four game, had Furman won this.
Well, Furman, they would have earned their way there in the SoCon, having been the top three teams in the conference on the way there, so you couldn't say that they didn't earn it. And I'll tell you, this Furman team, this week played the best in this conference. I think they played even better than Wofford, and Wofford was able to just pull out the game at the end there. But the way that they played, and after they had lost, I think, 8 out of 9 heading into the tournament, they just came out of nowhere.
They really did. This would have been as surprising. It wouldn't have been on nearly as large of a scale, and it probably wouldn't have had near the impact. And it certainly wasn't the circumstances that surrounded it with the storm and the tornado, but the Georgia team that won the SEC tournament, I'm blanking on the year, I believe it was 2008, or was it 07? 2008. This would have been a far bigger surprise than that, I think.
Yeah, and David, the best story about this tournament, I think, goes back to our video notebook we did on Thursday night before the first round games, which were the UNC Greensboro Samford and Citadel Furman games. And your comment was, "I can't believe somebody was finished worse than Samford in this conference." Well, that team that did finish worse than them almost won the whole damn thing.
They really did. It would have been amazing. It really would have been. And again, congrats to Wofford. We didn't mention this during our bracket rundown where we built the bracket. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It was incredible. I had Wofford inside my bubble. Now, obviously, they lose this game. They're not. But on the seed list, I think I have them sandwiched in between some of the first four teams. I really like this team.
I do as well. I had them before this game. I had them just above my very last team in on my personal seed list. Beating Furman isn't going to move them up anymore, but you know, other teams could drop down below them. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, there's an outside shot this Wofford team could end up on the 11 line.
Yeah. And again, without that loss to the Citadel, they probably, well, without
they
that
be,
loss
they
to
could
the
be a 10 seed without that loss, yeah. Yeah.
Without that loss to the Citadel, and had they been playing Mercer tonight, they wouldn't have needed to win. I'm pretty convinced of that. This is a pretty good team.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be a very dangerous out in the tournament. That's for certain.
Great job that Mike Young has done there. You wonder how much longer he's going to be there.
All week we've been predicting that Iona would lose in the Metro Atlantic tournament and Manhattan would win it. And, David, we were both correct.
Yeah, Iona did much better. We've been following them throughout this tournament. I was actually, I don't want to say it's impressive to gut out a three-point win against Siena, but I was impressed with how they played in that game. It's not, we made this point before, it was not your last year's Iona team or the year before where they would get these big leads and then they'd get thrown off balance and never just get control back. They actually made big plays really in both the quarters and the semis. They really ran over Monmouth in the semis, but tonight they fell behind early. They did fight back. It was a really exciting second half. I had it on. I was actually having a hard time paying attention to our podcast at times, but they really, again, not Iona-like. They fell behind. They came back. Now, again, they didn't come all the way back, and Manhattan got the win. But still, it went. This is potentially a dangerous Manhattan team. I think this is the second year. They've played the last 3 years. Manhattan's won the last two after not having won during the regular season. The one thing, Chad, this is becoming one of my favorite rivals for reasons that we won't get into, largely because so many of the really good ones have gone away. This one is still here. It was pretty heated. I really, really wish it had been on campus. Wow, what an atmosphere.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the other storylines here is the Manhattan head coach, Steve Massiello. Remember in the offseason, he took the job down in South Florida, said goodbye, and then they realized that he had never even graduated from Louisville.
Kentucky.
From Kentucky, and that there was basically inaccuracies in his resume. South Florida told him to get lost. Manhattan said, we'll take you back probationally. You have to go and complete your degree. He did that. And now he's back in the NCAA tournament again. Maybe has a better job waiting him next year. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, and I want to say this about Steve Massiello. That was really embarrassing for him. College basketball has a lot of people that are just egotistical prima donna. I don't think Steve Massiello is it. I think he's a good guy that had a bad moment and then made a bad decision. And hopefully he's better for it. I was so glad he got another chance. He shouldn't have done it. I'm not excusing it, but he's not. He's good people. He really is.
I think he's a good guy, and I think he's a good coach. And I think that if he does ever get up to the higher level here, he's going to be a really good coach for a long time for somebody.
Yeah.
Let's move over to the Summit League, which tonight was semifinal night in, and we were expecting the huge battle of the South Dakotas in Sioux Falls, and it really turned out to be a completely one-sided game. South Dakota State just dominated their in-state rivals there.
I'm seeing the final score for the first time. The margin was 27 when I quit paying attention.
Yeah, it was a lot bigger than this final 13-point margin of victory.
Yeah, North Dakota State it's what we wanted, these two teams. It's always fun when they play. They had to wrestle with Oral Roberts. It wasn't as easy as I thought it would be.
No, it wasn't, and it came down to the very end of the game. I mean, Oral Roberts was right there, just down 2 points with well under a minute left to go. I believe it was actually tied with about a minute left to go, and North Dakota State did sneak it out. I think North Dakota State all season has been the better team here, so it is nice to have the top two teams playing each other. This is the championship game tomorrow night. I think it will be a really good game. I still like South Dakota State to take it, though.
I do, too. But, again, it's been these two are pretty much equal. I think that they're almost interchangeable as far as where they end up on the seed list. So, anyway.
Let's move over to the West Coast Conference, where as we are recording this live on tape delay, we only have one final in so far, and that was Gonzaga, who had a game with Pepperdine for a half and then decided to start playing.
Yeah, so Gonzaga into the championship game where they'll be facing BYU.
Yeah, as we record this, it's halftime of the BYU-Portland game. BYU up 18 points. Barring a complete collapse in the second half, we will have the Gonzaga-BYU game we've been waiting for. This is coming up tomorrow night, and the big question arises here. If Gonzaga wins this game, where does that leave BYU in terms of the tournament?
I don't think our committee will take them, just judging by the broadcast we did earlier. I think the actual committee will.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of factors here because you have a lot of bubble teams have very easy to slide down as well. We did have BYU in our on our last four out, although they were the fourth of those four teams. So we'll but that is something that we'll find out as we move ahead. Obviously, we're assuming that BYU is going to hold off this game here with Portland. Tonight was also first-round night in the Mid-American Conference. These were four games that were played on campus sites, and I'll try to scroll up here and get as much of this bracket in the screen as we can because it's this crazy format here.
Not at all.
I don't know, David, if you got a chance to watch this Eastern Michigan-Miami of Ohio game. I honestly did not. I did not. There was a pay-per-view stream only on it. I did not get a chance to watch it. It was a 62-61 overtime win by Eastern Michigan. Maybe you have a little more info on the game than I do.
Not really much more than that. I was kind of following it. I didn't watch it. I was watching Ball State Bowling Green pretty closely. It was a close game. I realized that Bowling Green opened it up down the stretch, but it wasn't until like the final, at least past the under eight timeout, to where Bowling Green finally opened that up. For a while, it looked like they were going to lose. But yeah, I mean, real exciting stuff in Eastern Michigan on the way up to Cleveland later this week.
Right.
I think Bowling Green's going to roll. This tournament gets really exciting once we get down to the quarters. Potentially, it's most likely Bowling Green Toledo. That's a good game. We have Akron Kent. For those of you that missed it, the last game of the season, we had a court stormer. Those two could meet as early as the quarterfinals. That's probably, in a conference full of rivalries, I think we decided earlier this year that that one's probably the biggest one.
Well, I wouldn't write off either this Eastern Michigan or the Western Michigan team in this next round, which is coming up, not tomorrow, but on Wednesday night. They both had pretty good seasons. They both finished with solid records. And I think that we could have a couple of interesting games there between Eastern Michigan, Bowling Green, and Western Michigan, Akron coming up as well. Akron completely destroyed Northern Illinois tonight. I was watching some of that game, too, and that was ugly.
Yeah.
In the MEAC, again, we apologize for the mistake last night.
What was the mistake?
I announced that today's games were the 8-9 game and the 7-10 game. In fact, they were the other two first-round games. Tonight was the Delaware State-Savannah State game and the Hampton-Morgan State game, not like what I said last night. Hampton completely rolled over Morgan State. It actually was closer than the final score. They kind of pulled away late in the game. The Delaware State-Savannah State game, though, was close the whole way, which is surprising for a 5-12 game.
Yeah, it was, and especially as bad as Savannah State's been. It actually came down to, like, the final minute, and it wasn't until Savannah State was fouling to try and stay in it that Delaware State opened it up.
And one of the more stranger formats here in this tournament, because they split up the first round of the quarterfinals into multiple days, the two winners tonight don't play again until Thursday night, so they're going to get the 2 days off before they come out to play again. But tomorrow night's games coming up here, Tuesday night, we have the Bethune-Cookman-Coppin State game at 6 and the North Carolina A&T against the number one team in the MEAC and perhaps the number one team in the entire country, South Carolina State.
Yeah, that's your team. Yes. Your assigned team. So, again, looking forward to that one. And, I do recall this, and, again, we do apologize. But hopefully South Carolina State lives to see another day. We want to see them play as long as possible.
We want to see them playing, although it looks like this school is not actually going to be closing down. That was a long shot to begin with. And, the school will stay open. They should be back again next year, although they need to get things straightened out financially there. And, of course, a lot of these HBCUs, there was just an article I was reading today, that there are financial problems across the board with a lot of these schools, related a lot to the fact that there's a lot less money out there from the federal government for student loans for these kids, which really is a shame.
Yeah. It really is a shame because the HBCUs in this conference is exclusively HBCUs. They serve people to me. I want to hit the roof every time they say, well, you know, we're no longer a segregated society. We don't need them anymore. Well, they don't. Maybe it's not the ethnicity or the race of people that it reaches. It's the socioeconomic background of the people that it reaches. And one of the things that makes me mad is that these are public institutions. And, again, not to pick on Clemson, South Carolina, College of Charleston. Why is it that the one school, and it isn't just South Carolina State, it's so many of them, Florida A&M, for crying out loud, Florida State, why isn't it? These are your public institutions. You fund the other ones. Why don't you fund these?
I agree with you. And these are the ones that need the money more than those other schools, I'd submit.
Yeah.
These schools don't have the donors that have tons of money. These kids, when these kids graduate, they're not going to be out there making millions and millions of dollars and able to donate millions and millions of dollars to the schools. Not like you have one.
It's South Carolina State University. Well, we're going to shut it down because of the fund. Then fund it. It's your school. Anyway, sorry.
Let's move on to the preview of a few games coming up tomorrow night. That does conclude all tonight's action. But tomorrow night we have a couple championship games in addition to the Summit League of the West Coast that we already discussed. The Horizon League title game, Green Bay at Valparaiso, 7 o'clock.
This one's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to a good game here. Valpo, the huge advantage of being at home, but still, this Green Bay team is a very good team that faltered a bit down the stretch, but did rebound to make the finals.
Yeah, they faltered down the stretch. It is a good team. I thought they got snubbed last year for an NCAA tournament bid. I certainly think they were better than some of the teams that got in, and I think they had better paper than some of the teams that got in. But tomorrow, if they beat Valpo, they're in. I like this Valpo team, and again, we've been talking Murray State. Valpo is another team on the list of teams I think is better than Murray State, as evidenced by the fact that they absolutely thrashed Murray State earlier in the year.
Yeah, there is that. I mean, that's a good factor, though. This Valpo team, much like Murray State, very weak non-conference streak, the schedule, did not do themselves any favors.
Right. Valpo needs to win to get in. I hope they do. I think they are the better team. I don't know. I don't expect them to get out of the round of 64, but they could certainly make it interesting.
Okay, I agree with you there. The other championship game, the fourth championship game we'll have tomorrow night, is the big one in the Northeast. William & Mary did not get off that list of five teams that have never been in, despite being in NCAA Division I since 1948. St. Francis of Brooklyn has a chance to do it themselves tomorrow night at home in their 900-person, 900-seat gymnasium that is probably going to have about 2,000 people there tomorrow night, I bet. This should be an electric crowd tomorrow night.
Yeah, we have been talking about this, I think, since January. It really is this game that if St. Francis Brooklyn was able to get this game at home, it would just be a tremendous it's going to be tremendous theater. The atmosphere is going to be very unique. We all loved what happened at North Florida earlier. I think this one's even going to be more intense. It is a cracker box where they play, and it is going to be rammed full. And you want to see if St. Francis Brooklyn wins this game, it might be the most incredible court storming you have ever seen. Because they don't have far to go. It's not like they have to run a long ways to get onto the court. It will be flooded instantly.
Well, honestly, if they just wanted to walk out of the gymnasium, they got to flood the court anyhow. So, yeah. This Robert Morris team, though, I think is a very dangerous team for Brooklyn. And I think that, you know, this is going to be a tough game for them. I would not. Well, I think it'll be a great story for St. Francis Brooklyn to make the field. They are not just to be able to cruise in there by any means.
No, it's going to be a good game. I mean, honestly, I know that the winner is on the 16 line, perhaps even going to Dayton. I'm looking forward to this more than anything else tomorrow. I really am.
I agree with you there. A couple more games tomorrow night. We have the first of our major conferences actually kicking off tomorrow. These are after pair of afternoon games if you want to take off work early. In fact, look at the size of this bracket. This is insane here. Somewhere down here in this mess that is the ACC bracket, there they are, kind of dead center there. Tomorrow's games, the 12-13 game at 1 o'clock between Boston College and Georgia Tech, and at 3:30, the Wake Forest-Virginia Tech 11-14 game. Let's start with those, David. Do you think there's anything worth really watching here tomorrow afternoon?
Boston College is not as atrocious as they've been the past couple years. At times they've even maybe looked good. But really, North Carolina should roll whoever wins that game. The other one is the winner of this Virginia Tech Wake game getting Miami. I don't know who it's going to be. It's probably going to be Wake. Virginia Tech is just weak, although they've improved as the year's gone on. Miami must win that game.
Right, and let's talk a little bit about this ACC bracket here. If you could follow this, and maybe we can get a better bracket picture up here, for tomorrow night in this bracket, just because this is so hard to follow here, what you're looking at. But we've got that BC Georgia Tech winner plays Carolina, the Wake Va Tech winner plays Miami. We see up top there NC State Pitt. Winner gets Duke. Clemson State winner gets Virginia. The winner of the Carolina game gets Louisville. The winner of the Miami game gets Notre Dame. I think that this bracket is really strange. I think that there are there's 15 other spots thrown in here too. So I'm not the certain one.
Syracuse not participating. Otherwise, right. We would have three games tomorrow.
Let's ask the ultimate question we ask when we start any new brackets, though. Who do you think wins this conference tournament?
Duke. I think that, I mean, as much as I like Virginia, Duke just went into Carolina, who's fairly formidable, and thrashed them. I almost think Duke is stronger on the road this year than they are at home.
Wow.
And I'd agree with you about that. I think we have a real good shot at getting that Duke-Virginia round two in the championship game. I think that'll be a great game if it does happen. I am looking forward to that in this conference.
And again, this conference, from the second, I guess you would call it the round of 12, I don't know, right. It's going to feature some really important games. Pitt is a team that is outside the bubble, but they don't need – I think Pitt can get inside the bubble without winning this tournament. But they need to – I mean, they obviously need to beat NC State and they need to beat Duke. Is that enough? As weak as the bubble's been.
NC State, Duke, that put them into the semifinals. They might need to beat Notre Dame also and make it to the finals.
If they do all that, I think they're. I think they can get into the tournament without winning this one. They don't need the automatic.
But I think just beating NC State will not be enough. NC State and Duke could get them seriously under consideration, though. Yeah. I agree with you because they're not that far out. They worked in our first four out tonight, though, but there were a couple people that actually had them in among their last eight out, so they're going to be in the picture there. Yeah. One other game tomorrow night, and this is probably the most important game tomorrow night. First round game, the 8-9 game in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Alcorn State and Grambling State, 9:30. The first game of the SWAC tournament. The bad news here is I just confirmed this today that the only televised game for the entire SWAC tournament will be the championship. There'll be no streaming, nothing. Very disappointed in the SWAC for not getting any type of digital streaming up on their website.
Wait a minute. You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding.
Wait, what? They've been streaming it in years past.
I double checked. They actually did the same thing. They moved to Houston last year. They did not stream since they moved. I think it was out of Birmingham and over to Houston. They didn't do it last year. They're not doing it this year. I don't know what's up with the SWAC. They're in an NBA arena there. You would think that it'd be pretty easy to get the video cameras rolling in the building, but they're
an
not.
An iPad would.
Oh. So we may need to dispatch you to Houston, David. We'll have to
yes,
work on that.
Yes, yes. I will get. Tomorrow, I will be broadcasting live from Houston.
And the game, of course, tomorrow night, Alcorn State and Grambling. If Grambling loses this game, I think we've agreed we'll have to confirm this coming up on Thursday evening when we go to our mock committee, but Grambling should be our Centenary Award winner.
Yeah, now, I'm kind of torn here now that I've learned what you just said. Is Grambling worthy of the Centenary Award because there's no streaming, or is the entire conference damned to the Centenary Award because there's no streaming?
I think it's worse if you play in a conference that not only doesn't stream its first round, because, hey, the Metro Atlantic also doesn't do that, but doesn't bother streaming the semifinals or the quarters either. And here's an interesting point here, David. The bottom two quarterfinals, and these will be games coming up actually on Wednesday, have Alabama State and Southern, the two ineligible teams, in as the favored teams. If both those teams win in their quarterfinal round game, then the other semifinal, which will not be televised or streamed anywhere, will determine the automatic bid.
Yeah. and it is very, very likely that both those teams will win.
Right. Assuming that happens, assuming we get an Alabama State Southern semifinal, we will have a non-televised game that will determine an automatic bid in the other semifinal, and then an exhibition game in the championship.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Well, let's ask the ultimate question again, though. Who do you think wins this conference tournament?
Texas Southern.
You can pick one of the ineligible teams if you like.
Oh, okay, I'm going with Grambling.
Okay. You know, if
this conference deserves a representative, you know, like Grambling.
I'm actually going to go with Alabama State to win this conference tournament, although I agree. I think that Texas Southern is going to end up being the representative out of this conference. I think we are going to get that exhibition game in the championship.
Yeah. So, like, you know, because, again, when you see the tournament profile on CBS or Turner, and it's telling you about the teams, and it says into the field whether they were a conference champion or an at-large, if Texas Southern loses to Alabama State, what are they?
They are an automatic bid winner, automatic bid recipient, let's call them
okay.
But we have to make up terms when we come to the SWAC. All right. We're going to pull down the screen now, and we're going to switch over to your screen where we're going to pull up our survival board, our final event of the night.
Okay, let's see.
We work some of our magic there with that. And there it is. Now, this was our other mistake last night. It showed 225 and then 222. We finally did get the math right. 221 yeah. after last night's games.
221 teams remaining, yes. And, you know, again, well, we're going to see the action tonight. There's the ACC for tomorrow. Just kind of scrolling down here. Okay, so are we ready to hit the magic button here?
We're going to take 1 second here. Yeah, David, we're going to go ahead now, and we're going to hit that magic button and see what happened as a result of tonight's action.
Okay.
One note, this does not include the outcome of the BYU-Portland game. That will be updated in the morning.
Right, and I think we can... We could pretty much do it with about 99% accuracy, but we'll wait till the morning. Here we go. What do we got here? 209 teams remaining. So.
209. After tomorrow, we should probably jump under that magic 200 number.
That's kind of sad.
Very close to it.
And then again, just going here, you see North Florida, the automatic bid winner. Coastal Carolina, automatic bid winner. Where's the Metro Atlantic? Manhattan is in Iona off the board. So, again, the committee isn't even allowed to consider Iona. Is that what we've decided?
The committee will not even be allowed to, will not be discussing Iona. This is a favor that we've done for the committee. This is the reason why we do this for them. Let them know you don't have to bother. Iona had a nice season, won their conference regular season, but they're going to be discussed in the NIT committee room, not in the NCAA committee room.
So, again, we've got Belmont Murray State still under consideration. Wofford, who won the automatic bid tonight.
So with Wofford, they're not going to have to bother with the debate, do they belong in or not. They'll see them in bold end caps. They know that they're in, and the only thing they need to decide is where to seat them.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I want to thank everyone again for joining us again, and we're going to talk to you again tomorrow night.